Hello and welcome to Gaming News Weekly. I'm Gareth.
And I'm Matt.
Well, Matt, for some weird reason, the technical gods have tried to stop us from recording this episode in every which way. I think it's actually PlayStation. I think they're trying to stop us. It might be Rockstar, dependent on the news stories that we're going to be covering. But it's something. We're not quite sure what. But anyway, how are you doing? You okay?
I'm doing better. Like you said, the technical difficulties have remedied themselves, and we're adjusting some audio quality issues. So if our listeners think that we sound worse, please tell us.
And if we sound better, also tell
yes,
us.
Yes, so yeah, 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 yeah.
Nobody said anything, so it must be just as bad. Anyway, oh boy, what a week it's been for games that we've played, particularly me. I've got more games in, more up-to-date games in.
Yeah, look at you. You're almost like a gaming journalist over here or something.
I am, almost. We've got, some interesting stories, some related, and then potentially some hot take towards the end. I mean, it's all out there. But the trivia, I am looking forward to your thoughts on the trivia and how well you're going to do. I think you're going to smash it, but I think you always do.
This is the most exciting. This is the most excited you've ever been for, you know, the quiz section.
I thought of it, and I thought this is a good quickfire, and I'm going to look forward to it when we get to it. But first, let's talk about what we've been playing. Matt, I'm going to chuck it to you first, because what I played fits in a little bit with some listener feedback, some comments. So we're going to throw it over to you, my friend. What have you been playing this week?
And surprisingly, you've played more games than I have.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the only game that I have been able to put a significant amount of time into, which is more than several hours, is Battlefield 2042. It just released with the early access yesterday, and I have the early access. I've been putting time into it, so I'm a huge Battlefield fan. I got on board with Battlefield 2. And I never played any of the PC because our family was never able to afford a PC strong enough to play any of the Battlefield games. So it really started on Modern Combat with the Xbox. Battlefield 3, Battlefield 4 Classic, Bad Company 1, 2, and then Battlefield 4 when it went into the Xbox One. I actually enjoyed Battlefield 1 and Battlefield 5, surprisingly, it got a lot of hate. But gameplay-wise, it was probably the smoothest and best playing gameplay-wise the Battlefield series has ever been. Besides all the controversy about, you know, if you don't like it, don't play it, and all the gender, female crap. But regardless of all that controversy, it was one of the best playing Battlefields. So how does Battlefield 2042 hold up so far? So I have not put hundreds of hours into it. So I'm still going to continue to be critical of it as I play, but for right now, I am loving it. It is not a flawless launch of a game. There are definitely some bugs, and Gareth, you and I have experienced some of it. There is quite a bit of graphical pop-in. There was a few times where you get dropped off and my character's face was, it was something out of a horror movie.
Yep.
Just terrifying. Gareth, I witnessed it too. When you're running uphill, the sand dunes tend to swallow half of your body as you're running uphill. So there's still a few graphical hitches. Online, people are experiencing some crashes, but I have not experienced any crashes whatsoever. And gameplay-wise, besides the reload icon not going away every now and again, I have not experienced any real major bugs gameplay-wise. I was there for the Battlefield 3 and 4 launches, which were horrendous to the point where it was almost unplayable. Well, it was unplayable. So Battlefield 2042, its launch is actually surprisingly really good for how it is. People were questioning the amount of content there is. first, the all-out warfare is amazing. The hazard zone, I've played two or three matches. It's fun. What I'm worried about is that it has a longevity problem. There is no real huge risk or reward. There's no taking the materials and investing it into, you know, a camp or something like that from Escape from Tarkov, besides just kind of betting this fake currency. There's no real risk or reward there, and I want there to be more progression, so I hope they look into that. And then Portal, I'm able to play Bad Company 2 again and Battlefield 3. And then the community can go do whatever they want with Portal. It's essentially a better version of Halo's Forge mode. So it's really going to make the longevity of this game even greater. So there's plenty of content, even without the single player. And I think without the single player, they really use their resources smart by giving us more Portal, the Hazard, and All Out Warfare. The maps are gorgeous. I think so far they're well-balanced. The gunplay is solid and fun. I know specialists are a hot take right now, but I love Rainbow Six Siege. I love Apex Legends. I don't mind the specialist system. Now, there are some specialists that seem to be very cliche, and what I mean by that is they are very scenario specific or map specific. There's some specialists on certain maps I won't even touch, such as like the glider on some of the more flat maps, or you know, the conquest where we are focused on mostly flat land. There's no reason for that specialist. So there's very specific times for some specialists, and that might be the only gripe I have with them. But I am really enjoying it. I'm looking forward to how they build upon it. They add weapons, add maps. The portal, they can literally just throw maps and new characters from Battlefield 4 or something into Portal and let the community take hold of that. The hazard mode, I'd just like to see a little more progression, but it's fun. The destructibility is back. The modern slight future warfare is back. The levolution, the weather is amazing. Overall, it is a fun game, and though it's not perfect, there are, for some reason, I don't know if you realize this, the gunner option, there is no inverted gunner option. So it's bothering me when I get into tanks and stuff like that. For the gunner, I can't aim up and down correctly because I have to do it on inverted. That's a little weird. A little weird omission. But the game is fun. The game is mostly completed. There's a few bugs, and I think they have a day one patch in the making for the actual day one coming out next week. So give it a try. Game Pass actually is partnered with EA Play. They have a 10-hour free trial, early access for Battlefield 2042. If you liked Battlefield 4, Battlefield 3, even any of the games in the Portal mode, Bad Company 2, 1942, give this game a try. There's plenty of content, and Portal mode, you can mix and match whatever you want if you don't like the specialist system. It's a fun game. Once, Gareth, you got on, I thought we had a good time getting destroyed, but also destroying people at the same time. So, I find it a great game. I can't wait to put more time into it.
Cool. What have I been playing? So, as Matt just alluded to, I snuck some time into Battlefield 2042 as well. Where am I at with it? Yeah, it pains me to say this. It really does. Like, it hurts every fiber of my being. But Matt was right. I did enjoy it. I got some serious Battlefield 2 vibes, which I think is where a lot of my fond memories of Battlefield goes back to. You know, certainly of the multiplayer side anyway. Do I have some frustrations with it? The graphical glitches, I don't know. It could also be, just bear in mind that me and Matt were playing this on old gen, so we were not playing this on the up-to-date gen or PC. So there is a risk they were struggling maybe with the detail, but...
The game still looks gorgeous though for old gen, yeah. And it runs at 60 frames pretty solid too.
It was a very pretty game, and the gunplay was good.
Once it all loads up, of course.
Yeah, once you get that texture drop in, like I was going through the main menu and like some of the characters were like hideous monsters. I don't even know why. Anyway, I am in a tricky place right now in that I don't know if I invest in that game. That's where I'm at. I'm there now thinking I've got a taste of it. Do I want more? The only problem is I can probably only see myself playing Conquest because that's the game mode that I really like. I don't think the Hazard Zone's going to get its teeth into me. I don't think. Portal, maybe. Maybe. But I am also, and I know I've just said the Battlefield 2 was my jam, but I do miss the Battlefield 3 style and Battlefield 4, you know, very theatrical campaign, you know, these massive cutscenes, these cities falling down around you, all that sort of stuff, these incredible gunfights that are, you know, set up perfectly, you know, crawling under searchlights and under soldiers' feet, trying to get out with just a pistol or a combat knife. You know, those levels stick in my head massively. You know, I want to say even in the same way, like Spec Ops The Line sticks in your head, Matt, sticks in my head. Those Battlefield levels stick in my head. So that's where I'm like, do I miss that there isn't a campaign? A little, a little, a little. But that's enough about Battlefield 2042. We all want to know about the really big game that I've been playing this week. Humongous game. You know, absolutely amazing game that I've been playing this week. Apex Legends.
Knew it.
No, I've been playing Apex Legends still. Still enjoying the new season. Got a little bit into ranked. Got my head kicked in a little bit in ranked. But I am hooked. That game has got me hook, line, and sinker. And I think when we come off this, we're going to jump straight into it because that's what I said. So we're going to be probably playing some more Apex, but this will probably be the last week I'll mention it. I will probably still be playing it unless there's any massive updates that I feel I need to drop in. But loving the new season. I do like the new map. I miss Olympus. I do like the new map, but I do miss Olympus. No, honestly, the game that I think we want to talk about, and it ties in with the Discord, Bryce got in touch as well, saying he wants some personal thoughts on Forza, why you like it, what the game needs, and how would you improve on any problems. My reply was, oh, you just wait. I got you covered, brother. But let me tell you, right, okay. So, Forza Horizon 5, before I say the wrong one. We both played Forza Horizon 4, Matt, yeah?
Yes, loved it. But I got the expansions, I invested hours and hours into it. And we even kind of talked about this on your stream, is I played Forza Horizon 2 when it came out, and it was free with Games of Gold, that's what's got me into it. I bought Forza Horizon 3 and all of the expansions before it was delisted, played that. Forza Horizon 4 invested hours and hours. We even played it together and went back and played the Battle Royale Exterminator, the DLCs. Just absolutely love this series.
Absolutely. So we are both coming from a position of fans. We love Forza Horizon 4. I can't even tell you how many hours I put in that game. It was a lot. Like, I played that game a ton. I would just sometimes write, I've got 20 minutes, I need to chill, and I would play Forza Horizon 4. So, quite excited for Forza Horizon 5. Downloaded it. I don't know. I don't know what it is. And I am, well, I am already like 4 hours into this game. Four, 5 hours into this game. Easy. I was playing it until 2 o'clock this morning. So don't hear me say I'm not playing it at all. And that's it. Easy. He's only playing an hour of it. And he's just got caught up in it. I've heard things said. There's too much talking. It's too slow to get started. I've also heard Game of the Year contender. I've heard it's huge. It's going to be taking over, you know, everybody's Game of the Year list. IGN would not shut up about it. Kotaku wouldn't shut up about it. All these places would not shut up about Forza Horizon 5. I don't know. It's missing something and I can't quite put my finger on it. Firstly, your character talks. No. They just shouldn't talk. A, I get the argument for there's too much talking in the game. This is coming from me, who talks too much anyway. There's too much talking in this game. There is, 110%. Music, which is a massive part of this game, having, you know, banging soundtrack to go with amazing cars. I would love to listen to the music, but the DJ talks too much. Hayley appears out of nowhere and just talks to you constantly. You talk. And now, Anna, who is the car navigational system, she started getting involved. She's now telling you, why not try this race? Why not try that race? Why not chase after accolades? She's even telling Hayley to shut up in one of the missions. Hang on. There's too much going on here. So you can turn the DJ off. So I turn the DJ off. So that helps a little bit. But there is too much just left, right, and centre. Not me just going, right, I'm going to get into my McLaren Senna and I'm going to bang it down the motorway, highway, whatever you call it. And I must admit, that's put me off a teeny tiny bit. Another thing, the car collection. So there's 534 cars to collect in the game. That doesn't put me off. Love that. Let me go chase those cars all day long. I'll do it. Give me that challenge. But why have they replaced what was in Forza Horizon 4, and it was very similar to what was in 3 and 2, of navigating through your car collection to the most complicated, slow, sluggish, off-putting system that I've ever seen for skipping through car collections? I have no idea. It frustrated me every time I loaded it up, to the point that I left like 7 or 8 notifications on my car collection because I just didn't want to go in there to have a look at this car collection. All of that, and then we also had some connectivity issues yesterday. So I was trying to hook up with my brother to play online, to set up a convoy together. Now, convoys can always be a little bit dodgy on Forza Horizon 4, but at least you could get into the convoy. Oh, man, no. So there isn't actually a fix for this currently, other than to join a convoy at the minute, it recommends that you join an event. So you set up, join a convoy. You then join an event, and that's the only way you can actually appear on the map together. So I had to join my brother's convoy, and then for me to actually appear in the same world as him, we had to join an event, a race together. Then after that race, we were in the same world. That's 4 days after that multiplayer connection bug was reported, and it's still not fixed. Now, as we all know, Xbox through and through, hashtag still not sponsored, all that stuff, that needs to be fixed fast, because that is off-putting, that is annoying. Several thousand times, probably isn't an exaggeration, it was disconnecting me from the servers. So it was saying return to free roam to connect, return to free roam to connect. And that was sometimes solo, very annoying. But on some positives, the world, beautiful, unbelievably beautiful. Like the different, you know, I drove up a volcano last night. That's pretty awesome. I also drove through jungles, down motorways, through deserts. Brilliant. The world is beautiful. The cars, get out of here. There's nothing that looks as good as those cars in a game right now. Gran Turismo fans, at me. At me. Because the world that they're driving in is nothing compared to the world that's Forza Horizon 5. The map is, I think It's smaller, but I haven't got an official thing on that. It feels smaller to me. But I still played it like mad. And I know I'll carry on playing. And I'll probably buy the VIP. And I'll probably buy the car passes. And I'll buy every DLC that comes with it. 110%. Because I know I will. I just have some frustrations. The UI looks lazy. So if I'm honest, they've had 2 years. I think it's 2 years.
Three, because maybe. I think Forza Horizon 4, I mean, Forza Horizon 4 was always getting updated, but if I remember correctly, it released in 2018, or it might have been 2019.
Yeah, it might be pre-COVID. Yeah, no, you're right. It is pre-COVID, yeah. Okay, yeah. So that makes me even more annoyed, because yeah,
2018.
The UI is lazy. Like, there is very little difference. There's very little change. The main menus have changed a little bit, but not drastically. And you do the showcases, and I get that. That's kind of it. You do the showcases, you jump out of a plane, you race a plane, you race a, you know, hovercraft. I mean, what a great showcase that was from Forza Horizon 4. I just, there's something. They've added these expedition things. They're pretty cool. But actually, I was a bit annoyed with how long the one took, so I've not done any since. And I think I can do like two or three now because I've, you know, racked up so much points. I don't know. Bryce, I hope that kind of helps teeny tiny bit where I'm at, because I don't know where I'm at yet. I think I need to put at least 30 or 40 hours into this game to be like, here's what they definitely 100% needed. I don't know. Matt, you watched some footage of it yesterday. You've probably seen reviews. Where are you at with it all?
So, yeah, unfortunately, I can't address Bryce's comment towards Forza Horizon 5 directly because I haven't played it yet. It is installed. I watched you play it, and I watched reviews of it. And it, from a Forza Horizon fan, like I said, 2, 3, absolutely love 4, poured the most hours into 4. I loved how much they updated it and kept on giving it more and more content, even free content. From the little bit I've seen review-wise, it looks like... It's funny because some of the stuff you say is actually mirrored in some of the reviews, is that the UI, some of the UI stuff and some of the reviewers actually saw that the car list in Forza Horizon 5 isn't far off from Forza Horizon 4 by the end of the support for Forza Horizon 4. So if you stuck through the entire 2 years playing Forza Horizon 4 and you're getting Forza Horizon 5, you're not going to see much of a car difference, because they basically took all the cars from the Forza Horizon 4 and stuck into Forza Horizon 5 with a few additions, but that was over the course of 2 years. And a couple of them even said that the UI is almost like they picked it up from Horizon 4 and stuck into 5. So some of the things you're seeing is not, you're not by yourself. Even the professional reviewers have been saying this. Now, none of them mentioned anything about the online connectivity issues. And maybe the only thing, I'm going to play devil's advocate. Now, I'm just going to play devil's advocate, is maybe that's the issue only because of how popular the game is. Because I think Phil Spencer came out on Twitter saying after 24 hours that Horizon 5 was the biggest Xbox Studios exclusive game ever released on day one. Well, the amount of
four and a half million.
Yeah.
4.5 million players in that first period.
Day one across cloud, PC, and Xbox. And the only thing that makes me play that devil's advocate is because when Sea of Thieves was the first Xbox exclusive to release on Game Pass, their player count was massive on day one, to the point where it ruined the servers. You couldn't get on it. If you got on it, you got disconnected, and that's an online-only game, so it was horrendous. But because it was so popular, they were having issues with it. So I'm playing devil's advocate. Maybe they might need an update, and that might be some of the issues, but that doesn't, you know, that doesn't get them off the hook. They shouldn't be having those issues in the first place, but that might be the reason for it. But the reviews are just saying that it's just more Horizon 4, but it's just basically more Horizon 4 with more diversity within the environment, because from what I've seen, that is the one thing 5 has over 4, is that the diversity of it. You said the volcano is there, the sand deserts are there, the smaller villages are there, something that the UK-based Horizon 4 didn't have. So it looks
steady.
Now the seasons that the UK had were very interesting, and I do love that. I wish they could have brought that back, but I have no idea how they could have brought that back for Mexico.
So they've brought it in a different way. Sorry, Matt.
No, you're good.
They've brought it in with the different weather systems. So you drive through sandstorms. It's weird. I played two games yesterday that involved a sandstorm. One was Battlefield 2042 and one was Forza Horizon 5. One was driving through an incredible like hurricane tornado thing. Once again, played two games yesterday where I did that. One was Battlefield 2042 and one was Forza Horizon 5. I just think... So, do you know where I've been thinking of it as? Forza Horizon 4 was Need for Speed Underground 1. That was Need for Speed Underground 1. Forza Horizon 5 is Need for Speed Underground 2. They cannot, based on that formula, they will not be able to pull off a Need for Speed Underground 3. There's a reason EA did not do it. They went to Carbon, and actually I really enjoyed that game. Bring that back, remaster it, I'd play it a million times over. But they will not be able to pull this off again. I think this is me as a fan. They will have to do something different. Something like the weather was something different. Forza Horizon 2 and 3, very similar. Very, very similar. Similar climates in some ways. Forza Horizon 2, just so many fond memories of it. They're going to have to do something slightly different. If it's the weather, if it's seasons, if it's a bigger map. Like, I would love a bigger map. I'd love a continent to be able to drive over. And somebody tell me that these next generation consoles cannot do it. They're wrong. It will be able to do it, I'm sure of it. But next game needs to be something totally different. It just does. It needs to be something that adds to it. There you can go, right. Boom. They've nailed it. They've got Forza Horizon Plus.
So I don't want to put words in your mouth. So basically what you're saying is that with 5, they have peaked with the formula they have created with Horizon so far. Because essentially they've said along with the reviewers, basically took 4, put it into 5 with a few tweaks minus the online connectivity issues, besides those little bugs. Basically, it took 4, put it in 5 with some tweaks in a new continent. Some changes that aren't so good, too much talking. Some changes that are better, the continent is more varied. But basically, you're saying they've peaked, and the only way for them to do something better is to do something different.
So, they peaked at Forza Horizon 3, then did something different with Forza Horizon 4 with the seasons. I mean, that map is beautiful. It just is. It's a stunning, stunning map. Forza Horizon 4.
I loved the seasons. The seasons was one of my favorite. Even though snow was beautiful and I liked it the first day, I hated driving it the rest of the day, but I just loved the variety of scenery within the seasons itself.
Absolutely. And it was just fun. You just had fun. Even in the snow, you had fun.
Yeah.
Forza Horizon 5, they have adapted it, they've made it slightly different, they've added this weather system. Now I think Forza Horizon 6 just needs to be better, I think, in an update. I don't hear me say they need to do something totally different. The game doesn't need to be totally different. The formula of the gameplay, you know, racing in an open world, that worked. 110% that worked. But what they do with the rest of it, the theme, needs to be slightly tweaked a bit, I think.
Do you think that 5 is maybe more similar to 4 because of the fact that 5 is still launching on older generations, and maybe 6 will be different or even grander because it might be at a, you know, well, is it current generation consoles exclusive instead of having to adapt the old family's console? Do you think that might be why it's slightly held back? Is it because you can't do a much bigger map unless you're excluding it, like Battlefield 2042? You have 128 players on next gen and PC, but then you only have 64 on current gen. Unless they do something similar to that, the only way for them to maybe move forward is to leave the old generation consoles in the past?
Possibly, but bear in mind, the worlds aren't totally detailed. Like, they're not incredible detail. You know, the houses are very much, you know, copy-paste, copy-paste, copy-paste. If you've seen one house in Forza Horizon 5, you've seen 90% of them. You know, particularly in the villages, a lot of the houses are the same. I don't know. I don't think that that's a good enough, and I'm going to use the word excuse. Like, if Forza Horizon 6 isn't a, we turn it on or we see the trailer and go, whoa, what have they done here? This is incredible. I can't wait to play it. Exactly like we were with Forza Horizon 4. Like, when they did the release trailer for Forza Horizon 4, I just remember going, that's going to be unbelievable. I can't wait playing it. And it's coming day one to Game Pass. Unbelievable. I'm thinking, wow, it's really good this game came to Game Pass, because if I bought this game, I would be really upset. Wow. And it's crazy because, and bear in mind, I mean, if I paid full price for this game day one, if I pre-ordered it, I'm glad I did not pay the £34 to get this early, because I think I would have been very disappointed. I don't know. Hear me being slightly negative, but please understand I am also enjoying just the in and out gameplay of it. You know, I still played it. Yeah, I've probably clocked more hours on this than a lot of other games I've played recently. You know, I'm going to be on 4, 5, 6, 7 hours easy, I think, already.
I think I want to just end on this note, is that regardless of some of the negativity you have towards Forza Horizon 5, I am super excited that Playground Games is making the next Fable, because I do think they're going to do amazing. Because regardless of your slight negativities, like you said, you're still going to play it. It's still technically a great game. I'm sure I'm not putting words in your mouth. It's still a great game. You still have, you just have qualms about the newest edition. But with Forza Horizon as a series, I think Playground Games has done amazing with it, and I can't wait to see what they do with the Fable series as well.
100% agree. You're not putting words in my mouth. 100% agree. And I can't wait for Fable from these guys, because the product that they produce is good. It's a good product. But if anything, I'm more sending out like a warning shot for the next game. Not for this game. I think if you've got Game Pass, if you've not downloaded and started, and you're not thinking about playing it, you need to, you know, go to a mirror, look yourself in the eye and say, go press download, because it is a game you're going to want to play, and it's a game you'll miss if you don't play it. You know, and have a look yourself, fire back at me, do it in the Discord, do it with, you know, some respect and care. But if you think I'm wrong, go into our Discord, press at Batgroup27 and let me know. I'd love to hear it. I really would. But please understand, all of my comments are coming from an immense fan. An immense fan. Also, I think it's a bit ridiculous, just one last note, because I've played previous Forza games, you get the title game car from those previous games that you've played from the get-go. So I have a McLaren Senna already. So I have one of the fastest cars in the game collection already. So all the speed challenges, get out of here. Danger signs, get out of here. So I'm a little bit like, well, I get it. Maybe just make them cheaper. Like, maybe you get a loyalty discount. I don't know. Anyway, you constantly get called a superstar, and that annoys me. Because you were a nobody in the previous game. But anyway, it is what it is. That's what we've been playing. Bryce, hope that's sort of given you some idea of where our minds are at. We're finally going to jump into the news of the week. Apologies for the slightly long intro. Remember those shorter episodes that we were going to do?
Yeah, trying.
So there's a bit of a theme with our first two news stories this week, and it is about shortages, delays, shortages, microchips. We were going to get Davila on, but he's trying to get a refund on all the Game Pass games that he's bought, like Forza Horizon 5 and stuff. I'm joking, Davila. I'm sorry. Steam Deck has... It took the world by storm. I think I certainly thought potentially Steam Deck was a bit of a joke when it came out. I was like, no, this isn't real. Somebody's actually making this, and it's Steam, of all the people to be making it. Steam Link, oh no. Got bad memories of how good that could have been and how it didn't actually turn out that great. What a brilliant thing. People were pre-ordering. Some people were going to get it, I think, as early as November this year. They were going to get access to it. It was going to be delivered to them. Oh no, it's been pushed back. February 2022. If you were one that was going to get it in November, December time, some people now have received emails from Steam suggesting it will be last quarter 2022. It's been pushed back, and they've got a legit reason. Obviously, as we're all aware, there's global supply chain issues. At the minute in the UK, it's hard to get hold of packets of crisps. So hard is the supply chain issue that we can't get our Walker's crisps at the moment. Hashtag not sponsored. But these guys are having issues with chips, just getting general bits of materials to produce the Steam Deck. I mean, what a great product this is going to be, I hope, for people. An expensive product, but hopefully a great product. This, I think, Matt, is probably a story that we're going to hear more of in the next 10 minutes as well. I don't think we got a chance to talk about the Steam Deck, so let's get your opinion on the Steam Deck first, and then also, like, where are we at with this story? What do you think? Would you have pre-ordered one of these? What would you do with your pre-order now? Let us know what you think.
So, Steam Deck, I think, is a great idea. Steam is trying to get into that mobile market that Nintendo kind of has a monopoly on. Even though I'm sure there's other little bits and pieces of handhelds, you still have the phone, all the phones that can play games, stuff like that. But really, Nintendo has a monopoly on the handheld. I think monopoly or the greatest majority. And I think this is trying to get into that market. The only issue is that it's being priced at Xbox, PlayStation, console price points. So that's going to be the only issue, is that you want to play it mobily, but you have to pay a full, behemoth of a console price for it. But it's smart, it integrates with Steam, and I do think that the way that they sold it was intelligent. For you to get it, you had to have a Steam account. I don't remember if you either had to buy at least one game on Steam or at least played one game for like an hour or something like that, right?
You had to have a certain game time, I think.
Yeah, it was either game time or at least bought one game. But that kind of just, verifies, okay, well, at least this is a person. I think Microsoft attempted to do that. They had like some sort of insider program where you could sign up and they would shoot you a Xbox message for their Series X or S. And they need, PlayStation and Xbox needs to do that, because it's a lot easier to get to the direct fans who want these consoles because of these shortages through that system. Look at their time, make sure they've bought games and played games, and you can start getting those people the systems that they want instead of putting it out there and scalpers getting a handle of it. So I do praise Steam for doing that. I think that was a smart way to sell the game. And I like you said, there's no avoiding it. There's a global, chain process issue with all this shortages. It's just Steam came out front and was honest about it, and I'd rather them do that and, slightly disappoint some people. But I do think Steam Deck is a good idea. I don't know if it's going to have any legs, just because for the price point, people could just play those Steam games on their computers. I don't know how much the mobile market will take to it. This is something I don't really have a solid answer for, just because I'm not a huge PC gamer. But I don't see it translating that well to mobile, but I might be 100% wrong because the cloud gaming seems to be doing all right, and that's, you know, console gaming on the go, essentially. So I'll just stick with this, that any competition within the handheld market to push Nintendo to do better is always going to get a favor in my eyes, regardless if I see this working out or not. I'm not well informed enough to give a solid opinion on that, but I do think any competition against Nintendo is good competition.
Well, just think about it. It runs on, you can run Windows on it, so you could just go online and look for an emulator. I'm not saying do that, because most of them are illegal, but you could run an emulator and then just play Mario on your Steam Deck. So that'll, I can see the cease and desist already arriving in the post as we speak. Yeah, I don't know. I want it to work.
Yeah, yeah. It seems like a good idea. I'm not against it. I'm not against it like I was Stadia. Stadia was stupid, and I was not surprised when it failed. I'm not rooting against Steam Deck. I am unsure about it. I do want it to work.
Yeah, we're all aware of your hatred for Stadia. I think you mentioned it quite a few times. It also leads into our second story the week. And I think in some ways Steam has done a really good job in being quite forward and open about it. Sony subtly mentioned in one of their investor calls, which somehow people have access to, I don't know if they're made public or not, I guess because of stockholder interests. Sony has reportedly cut back PlayStation 5 production again. And this is not just down to supply chain issues, in that getting all materials is hard. It's particularly chip shortages. So chip shortages appear to be the problem here. So they had previously targeted 60 million units to be produced in the year ending March. That had been cut to 15 million units now. I mean, they're putting this down, obviously, COVID-19, which has had a very large impact on the world. It's going to have an impact on people's ability to get hold of PlayStation 5s. My concern for those still trying to get hold of a PlayStation 5 is now that people know they're going to be harder to get hold of, those scalper prices are going to go right back up again because they now know they're sat on a gold mine. It's still become one of the best PlayStation releases for a console. Once again, sold millions and millions and millions. I feel a bit bad for this console generation. They've had a lot of issues. They've encountered a lot of issues. Can't get an Xbox Series X for love and the money at the minute. Trust me, tried. But they're nowhere. I can get a Series S, but not a Series X. I mean, is this going to be the longest drawn-out release window for a console, Matt? Because it's unfair to now put, right, how well has the PlayStation 5 done? How well has the Xbox Series X done over this initial year? As I think they released a year ago this last week. It's unfair because of the issues that they've encountered to go, right, it's had a great week, it's had a great year because of this, that. I mean, it's a shame this is happening, isn't it, Matt?
It is a shame, and even though this article specifically cites PlayStation 5, like you said, you can basically correlate. Microsoft hasn't released an official statement, and I'm not their official spokesperson, but I'm just going to go and say that this is probably going to be the same for the Series X. The Series S is different because I believe that it uses a different chip, and that's why we're seeing it a little bit more often in stores. You can pick it up a little easier. But it's going to be the same as a Series X because I have been on the hunt for a Series X. I'm trying to hold out because I don't want the Series S, but I want the Series X, and I have been on the hunt for it, and I just can't get my hands on one. But regardless, you're right. It would be frowned upon if we looked at now. It would be frowned upon if we looked at this year and was like, oh, these are disappointing. But actually, in contrast to how the world is operating with the COVID-19 and the shortages that we have, Microsoft and Sony have done surprisingly well with the shortages for their sales of these consoles. I think the only real remark you can make is that they could have been better if the supplies was there. That would probably be the only thing, but that, it's not bad by any stretch of the imagination, because they're, I mean, their expectations are still at what, 15 million units, and their expectations is 14.8 million. That's still good numbers. It's not probably the best numbers that they could have asked for, but it's still good. I do hope to see that these chip shortages continue to solve themselves, because I think it was a few months ago we were reporting that some of the numbers for the scalpers were actually coming down because the supply was slowly catching up. But I do think with this announcement, like you said, it's the prices are probably going to go a little bit higher. I don't think they're going to reach the point that they were when it first launched. I do think they're going to rise a little bit, and that's a shame, especially with the holiday season coming around, because people like me are trying to hunt one down for themselves for the holiday season, just can't get their hands on it. But I'm hoping that the shortage, you know, ends and we can fully get into the next generation, because Microsoft, you can start to see next year Microsoft's plan for exclusives are starting to change, because they were out front. They said like the first year or two, most of their exclusives are going to be cross-generational, and then after that, they're going to start going to, you know, that generation's exclusives only. And you can see that with the Stalker coming out. It's going to be an Xbox Series X and S exclusive. You kind of saw that this year because Microsoft Simulator came out for console, but it was only for X and S. So we had the discussion Forza Horizon 6 might be even bigger and grander with the console exclusive, and that it's only going to get that way if there's enough consoles to warrant that crossover into the next generation. And the shortage might temporarily set that back, but we're going to start seeing that happen, and I'm hoping that the next generation starts to become the current generation. But for the people who have had it, I've heard are enjoying it if they have had their hands on it, but let's just hope that it sorts itself out and we can get our hands on it.
Yeah, because currently we're terrible, terrible gaming podcast hosts at the minute, because we don't have access to the latest generation.
Yeah, we don't get it sent straight from Microsoft or Sony themselves, so sorry.
Yeah, I know. We messaged Phil. We have him on our phones on speed dial, but he...
no reply yet.
Do you remember when speed dial was a thing? Anyway, moving on to our next story. Now, I was quite excited for this. I was quite excited for the GTA trilogy. And all that was going to come with it. I had fond memories of the games, particularly Vice City, particularly San Andreas. More Vice City. That was the game I was really looking forward to. San Andreas was coming to Game Pass. It was coming... Grand Theft Auto Vice City was going to be on PlayStation Now at some point. I don't think that was day one, but it's coming to PlayStation Now. And then, obviously, the trilogy was going to be made available. It had some slightly quirky changes. It had some unusual graphics coming. They tweaked a few things. Maybe those games, those promises as well, haven't come out as well as we hoped, as some of the reviews have shown, and some of it's a little bit jankier than you might expect, but they were then as well. When they came out, they were pretty janky, but it's not gone so well for our friends on the PC market. So the Grand Theft Auto trilogy was pulled from PC, and it's worth noting that Grand Theft Auto 3, San Andreas and Vice City were also pulled from Steam library before the release of this game. So that's the actual original releases. They were pulled from the Steam library before the release, and was down for 18 hours. And the trilogy was down, but also the actual Rockstar launcher was also down. Which affected Red Dead Redemption 2, GTA Online, meant they were currently, they could not be played, and they had to remove GTA 3, Vice City and San Andreas. This wasn't a great launch for these games, because you know the modding community was sat there waiting, eager to get hold of these three games to see what they could do. I imagine the first thing they'd do is probably make the graphics better. So they brought it down, citing that they needed to do some maintenance. The launcher has since returned, but the trilogy has yet to come back online. Matt, we didn't necessarily speak about the GTA trilogy in its entirety, I don't think. I think we mentioned it offhandedly. What do you think about this coming out? What do you think about this launch? What could have been done better? Because it was actually quite a rushed launch, and it was announced several weeks ago and then appeared out of nowhere, mostly due to leaks. What's your thoughts on all of this?
So, a little background for the Grand Theft Auto. I have played the original, very first one a little bit on the PlayStation 1. My main course for the Grand Theft Auto series was, majority of it was Vice City. My older brother had it for the PlayStation 2. He had the original, the Grand Theft Auto 3. He had Vice City and San Andreas, and that's how I played him. I played the first one with him, and then the second one is where I got to play by myself, but I still played with him. Vice City is where I invested most of my time. San Andreas is the one that I invested the least amount of my time. I did pick it up and play it, but Vice City was, I think it was probably because I was from Florida and it resembled Miami, so I was probably just stuck on that. But it's a fun game. They were fun games, and I think I went ahead and got Grand Theft Auto on the Xbox 360, the Grand Theft Auto 4, and I played it. I didn't get as attached to it that I did with Vice City, and I ended up picking Grand Theft Auto 5 up, and it was the same story. I didn't get attached to that like I did Vice City either. So I try to do like a retrospect. I actually thought, I was like, why? Because Grand Theft Auto 5 is one of the biggest games. It blew up, went on to Xbox One, PS4, blew up. And I just didn't understand why it just didn't attract me anymore. I just didn't like Grand Theft Auto 5. It played very sluggishly and clunky for me. I guess I just wasn't attracted to that type of game anymore. I might have liked it back then on a PlayStation 2 because I was young, and I probably wasn't supposed to be playing that game because of all the content in it. And I think that's what made me so attracted to it. And then when I was finally old enough that I was able to buy the game on my own and play it on my own, that stuff that was not rated for me anymore, it just didn't appeal to me, and I found out I didn't like the gameplay that much anymore. So if I was going to buy a Grand Theft Auto game, these would be it, but I'm still not going to buy it. I'm not a humongous fan of it, and from the reviews I've seen is that it's not a great definitive edition. The graphics are subpar in some areas. The reviewers have said that there is quality issues between all three of them. San Andreas and Vice City seem to have the most time spent into it. I saw a video of the original Grand Theft Auto 3 Definitive Edition, and the rain looked like something out of PlayStation 1. It looked awful.
Yep, saw that too.
The controls seem to be a mixture between Grand Theft Auto 5 and original. It's not something I'm into, and like you said, the mod community is probably going to go ham with this and love it once it gets back up. But this couldn't have been like the worst time for this to happen, especially during the launch, because the launch is when obviously the games have the most sales and most players into it. From what I'm seeing is that this is a disappointment. It's not awful. It's just they're disappointed in it. They're just like, I'm not mad at you. I'm just disappointed in you. That's kind of the vibe I'm getting from the fans with this game, because I'm not a huge fan of it and it doesn't really affect me much. But they're gonna recover. Rockstar is just still making buku's amount of money on Grand Theft Auto 5, so they're gonna recover, and I'm hoping that they update it and fix it to the fans' likings, because the fans do deserve to have these games the way they want, because like you said, they took it off of Steam, so the originals can't even be played or bought again and modded to their liking, so now they have to be dependent on this one. So hopefully it gets back to the same standard that the old ones were.
Yeah, hopefully so. I mean, let's be honest. You only had to follow the damn train, CJ. Next game. next story we're going to talk about.
Ooh, this one's excited.
It's only a quick one, this, because and to quote several people out on the internet, we have to take this with a massive, massive pinch of salt. It does appear, and fans are totally behind this, that the Halo Infinite multiplayer is going to be launched on Monday, the 15th of November. Halo's 20th anniversary. Microsoft aren't saying anything. Weirdly, Microsoft had some weird Twitter downtime, all this sort of stuff that happened out of nowhere. We've got... I don't know. I am going to, when we come off here, and before I go to bed tonight, I will be pre-installing Halo Infinite, on the basis of if it becomes available, I want it instantly available on my Xbox. Could it be? I mean, it would be great. I mean, remember the Bethesda announcements that they used to do, where they used to be like, and Fallout 3, it's available now, and it used to be like, what? It's crazy. Great. That's what we want. We want more announcements like that. Unless, of course, it's Grand Theft Auto and it turns out to not work. How excited are you for the idea that this could be true, Matt? Do you want it to be true? What's going through your head? Tell us what's going through your head.
You brought this up and I during your stream, and I didn't come across it until we started putting show notes in there for the for this episode. And I am ecstatic. What I've heard though is that it's only going to be the multiplayer free to play version that will be launching. Now, of course, take everything with a grain of salt. These are just rumors, but there is absolutely no rumor that the campaign is launching tomorrow. So now there was some rumors that there might be a demo for the single player that launches, but even if the multiplayer version is true, there is absolutely nothing stating that the campaign is going to be coming out. And that makes sense. The multiplayer free-to-play adds a little more maybe legitimate status to the rumor. And what really gets me is that it lines up tomorrow with the 20th anniversary, and that Microsoft has not come out and like shut it down. Usually on Twitter, they would be like, disregard this, or this is just rumors, and they have been weirdly silent on it, according to all the reports. And that's the only other thing that's making this seem more legit. But I'm excited for it. Like I stated before, I got into the multiplayer flight, and it is probably the best feeling Halo since Halo 3. It's taken all the great qualities of great quality of life improvements from modern day gaming that Halo 5 brought, but mixing it together well with the fan favorite of Halo 3, I really think they're walking the line perfectly. And this is exciting. I don't know if it's going to be true, because I do think that Microsoft wants Halo to be its best, and if they release it tomorrow, that's a whole less 2 or 3 weeks that they could be, you know, trying to nip little bugs and graphical glitches or whatever they got going on in the butt before they release it. It's really just shortening that time frame window, giving them less time to prepare it, and it might be going up against stiff competition. By December 8th, there's nothing first person shooter coming out around it. If they release it tomorrow, they're going against, inevitably, even if you love Halo, you have to agree that Battlefield 2042 and Call of Duty Vanguard are two behemoths of first person shooters that it's going to be going up against, that they have already released, and Call of Duty has a good 2 weeks or whatever foothold. Battlefield 2042 is within their early access, getting a good foothold. Halo Infinite's just gonna be charging right in there, and I think the December time frame might be a safer bet. But even with all those, I am just super excited, because this is it is my most anticipated game, just because of how well it played during the multiplayer flights, and the campaign videos have looked very promising as well.
Yeah, I mean, if this happens, great. I mean, I'm just throwing it out there. There is a very, very strong chance that what's actually going to happen tomorrow is the Halo Infinite Battle Royale is going to be released for everybody to play. It's going to be massive. I'm joking. I don't know, man. I think Xbox could do this. I'm really excited for one massive, humongous reason, and that is I'm not at work on Tuesday, which means I can just play it. And if that is the case, our game of the week will be very, very obvious, I think, for the next episode. But for this week, Matt, what is our game of the week?
It is Apex Legends.
Apex Legends.
We're going to go with Battlefield 2042, even though that I've invested more time into it than Gareth has, but we both have not invested enough time into it. Within the slew of other games that we have played, Battlefield 2042 is the most promising that we've played, you know, besides Apex Legends thus far. It has a great solid foundation. It has a little rocky graphical glitches for launches. That's nothing out of the ordinary for Battlefield, but it's also not excusable. But the gameplay is solid. The game itself is solid with plenty of content to go through it. If you don't like one mode, there's two other modes. There's a great variety here, and I think DICE set themselves up well for a game that could be supported in the long term. I hope they don't do a yearly release. I'm afraid they will, but I do think, actually I've been thinking about this, that Portal might be their war zone that goes from game to game if they do a yearly release. But regardless, not going to talk about that. Battlefield 2042 is a great game. Even on the older generations, the graphics are amazing. I don't know how they did it. Once everything loads up, it is pushing the console to its limit. It's 60 FPS. It's buttery smooth. The gameplay is fantastic. The guns feel fantastic. And overall, it's the great next step from Battlefield 4 to this game. And I think if you are a Battlefield fan of 3, 4, Bad Company, do yourself a favor and pick up this game, especially with the updates that DICE is inevitably going to make. It's going to turn out to be an even bigger and better game than it is now, and I'm having tons of fun with it, and I can't wait to get back into it after we hop off this podcast. So that's going to be the game of the week. I don't know if you have a little bit to say on it, Gareth, because you did put a few hours into it, but it's amazing.
Yeah, it's all right. Trivia for this week. No, it's a good game. Definitely play it if you have access to it.
Yes.
Trivia for this week. Now, oh boy. I think I'm enjoying this sort of quick fire instead of these long questions. This is I'm enjoying it. This was
it's harder for me because like Ruben said that one time he was on, I have like a process. Like if I don't know the answer, I have like little checkpoints in my brain that kind of I zero in on and hopefully get. But this, I can't do that with this.
No. So I've taken that from you. And still somehow you seem to fluke it. I don't know. Anyway, so very simple question, Matt.
Yeah.
Very simple. What came out first?
Oh.
So I have been nice in that none of these games came out in the same year as the other. So you've got two options in each of these questions. So you've got five questions. None of these came out in the same year. I was going to be mean with one of them. And then I thought, no. Months, that's hard mode. We're going to play on normal today. We're going to play on normal.
Okay.
So what came out first, are you ready?
Yeah. This is good.
So, question number one. Halo or Call of Duty? So that's Halo Combat Evolved or Call of Duty?
Call of Duty.
Shall I give you the answers now or at the end?
Just do it at the end.
Okay. So, two. BioShock 1 or Fallout 3? I need your answer.
Okay, all right. Fallout 3. Dang, that's probably wrong.
Three. Dead Space 1 or Left 4 Dead 2?
Ah, Left 4 Dead 2. What came out first? Dead Space. Because it came out.
Four. Fable 1 or Kingdom Hearts 1?
Kingdom Hearts 1. That one's, I think, easy.
Question 5.
Kingdom Hearts 1.
Final Fantasy 7 or Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time?
Ocarina of Time. Oh, wait. Yeah, Ocarina of Time. I'm going to go with Ocarina of Time. Oh, man, those are actually hard. I don't know how I did, honestly.
So, very interesting how you did. So, what came out first? Question 1. Halo, which came out in 2001. Call of Duty, which came out in 2003.
You know what I was thinking of? Medal of Honor. Because Call of Duty came out, was a game from Medal of Honor. Dang it, man. Yeah, you're right. Okay.
I know I'm right. I've looked up the dates. I've not made any of these. Disclaimer. None of these dates are made up. Question number 2. Bioshock 1 came out in 2007. Fallout 3 came out in 2008.
Dang it, man. I did not do good on this one.
So, question number 3. Dead Space 1 came out in 2008. Left 4 Dead 2 came out in 2009. So, weirdly, Left 4 Dead 1 came out in 2008. So I didn't choose that one because I thought that would be mean.
Yeah.
So Left 4 Dead 2. So you got that one right. Well done. Question number 4, Fable, 2004. And quite rightly, Kingdom Hearts smashed it, came out in 2002. I was going to say Remix, and then I thought, no, I'm making it very obvious that that one came out first. But yeah. Question number 5, finally, Final Fantasy VII. Came out in 1997. Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time came out in 1998.
Dang it, man. I knew it. I even stuttered. Man, that was hard, but that was fun. Everything was just so close. I mean, wow.
Yeah, I didn't want it to be... And then I thought about doing very similar games. So Halo, Call of Duty, very similar. Yeah. And then I thought, actually, that's going to take too long.
Yeah. Well, see the one that, like, I got the Kingdom Hearts one, the bigger time frame, but like the ones that are only 1 year apart were much difficult. The Call of Duty one I very slipped up on. Medal of Honor was what I was thinking of because that was,
I know. Yep. Cuz that front line.
Yeah, cuz Call of Duty was a rebuttal towards Medal of Honor. Yeah. That was just a pure mess up. All the other ones I was taking wild guesses.
It's okay. Even great people like me occasionally get some trivia questions wrong. Anyway, well done for turning up. Matt, if people did enjoy what they heard, where can they get in touch with us? Where can they continue the conversation?
So they can continue the conversation across a multitude of different social media sites. We are on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, we have an email, and one of our biggest ones, besides Facebook as well, is Discord. We love interacting with you. We love putting out when our episodes come out. We love when you guys put in content that you guys record and share of you guys playing games. If you have any sort of games you want us to play, you want our thoughts on, you have any specific news stories that you don't know if we're going to cover or not, and you want our thoughts on it, send in to Discord, send in on Facebook, on Instagram, through direct, you can DM us, whatever you want. We are here to interact with you because this conversation is not just between Gareth and I, it's between our listeners as well. Yeah, I think that's it.
That is it. No, we really appreciate it. I love jumping, and I know I most of the time just like to spur up conversations in the Discord. I do genuinely really enjoy chatting with people in the Discord. I like winding people up like Matt in the Discord with GIFs and comments, all that sort of stuff. You know, there's a good bunch of people in there, and we need to expand that. Unfortunately, we're not at like a billion members, so if you do want to join the Discord, you are going to have to get in touch with us first. We'll send you the link quite happily to get you into that group. But it's been a good week. I've enjoyed this one. This has been a good episode. I've had a rant for a quarter of the episode and then got to pull your leg for the other three quarters. So it's been a good episode. Yeah, it's been a good one, Matt. We shall wrap it up there. So as always, this has been your Gaming News Weekly.
Thanks, guys. We appreciate it.